As a parent, you have a huge effect on the emotional temperature of your home. Here's Israel Wayne.
When my children are behaving badly, they are really like a thermometer. And when I don't like the temperature in my children and in our home, the thing that I come back to is reminding myself that in many ways, I'm a thermostat. So if I don't like the temperature, I actually can do something about it by changing me.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth, author of A Place of Quiet Rest, for Monday, April 17, 2017.
I've been so encouraged and blessed over recent years to get to know a couple who live not too far from where our ministry is located here in Southwest Michigan. And I'm so thrilled after months of trying to coordinate our schedules that Israel and Brooke Wayne are able to be with us here in the studio today and to talk about a subject that I know is going to be of great interest to a lot of our listeners. So Israel and Brooke, thank you for being here, and welcome to Revive Our Hearts.
Well, thank you, Nancy. It's so good to be with you. So good to be on the air with you.
Thank you, Nancy. We're really grateful to be here.
And you all are, I don't know how you landed in our neck of the woods, but I'm so glad you did. We've become friends. I've gotten to know your family. I think when you first moved to the area, you had how many children? Six, maybe eight. And
we're on to nine now.
On to nine. And I've watched your children grow up over the last few years. You have still some very little ones, and
yes.
Nine so far is, yes, I suppose, what the answer is as to how many you have. But I've loved watching your family, and I've loved hearing your heart for creating a climate in the home where Christ is honored and where children can grow to know the Lord and to love Him. And you've been involved in that kind of family ministry for years. In
yes.
fact, Israel, I remember first reading some of what you wrote and hearing about you before you were married, probably, when you were writing about Christian worldview and you were a product of home education. So this
yeah.
is something you've had a heart for a long time.
It is. In fact, my very first public speaking event was 21 years ago when I was about 19 years old at Life Action Camp. If
Come
you can
on.
Believe that,
wow.
it was.
Life
was
Action is the parent ministry of Revive Our Hearts, and that camp is just up the road.
Yeah,
here.
And so it was a family conference, and I was asked to come and speak. And so I've been speaking at conferences for over 21 years and writing books, and really have been blessed that God's allowed me to help to encourage and equip families to know, love, and fear the Lord.
And y'all are doing that inside the four walls of your own home, and you know, like any parent does, that it's one thing to write about it and to teach about it, but it's another thing in the laboratory of life to experience it.
It definitely is. It's like you're being tested in all the extremes of tiredness and fatigue and the dailiness of it. And so it's really a good testing ground, like you said, for creating something that creates an atmosphere where our children can come to know and love God.
And that's what you're doing in your home. And I was particularly interested to see one of your more recent books. And we've talked for a long time about talking about this on Revive Our Hearts, but I'm holding it in my hand. It's called Pitchin' a Fit. And there's a graphic here on the cover of two parents and a kid, and they're all steaming, kind of yelling at each other. The parents are yelling. The kid's got his hands over his ears and isn't really interested in what the parents are saying. And the subtitle explains that this is about overcoming angry and stressed out parenting. Now, can I just ask, did you write this book just out of theory, or do you know a little bit about angry and stressed out parenting from personal experience?
Well, as an author, I think you know this, but everything you write is autobiographical, right?
Right. No
you know, kidding. It comes out of who you are and what God has done in you. So we have obviously had to deal with this in our own lives, but we also have in ministry had the opportunity to interface with just hundreds of other families who say this is a front burner issue mm-hmm. for them. And in some families, this issue of frustration and stress and anger is a defining issue of their home. And it really has controlled their family dynamic. And so we've been very grateful that God has given us a platform to be able to speak to this issue and to teach other people what God has taught us and is still teaching us on an ongoing basis related to this.
And I love that your writing and your teaching are so grounded in the Word, grounded in truth, because that's our anchor, that's our standard, that's our plumb line. But also you illustrate so beautifully out of your own journey, out of your own walk. You're not sitting up here in some ivory tower saying, we've got this down, but you're saying, this is what this looks like in our family. And you're pretty transparent. In fact, you open the book with a story, Israel, about feeding chickens.
Yes. We were getting ready to go out on a road trip, and we were going to be gone for a month. And I had one of my sisters who was going to house sit for us. So we had packed up the van, and everyone was loaded, and the luggage was all loaded. And I got out in the van and sat down and started to start the engine of the van. And I looked over by the garage door, and there was a 50-pound bag of chicken feed dumped in front of the garage door. Now, I had told one of my children that I wanted them to feed the chickens before we left. Well, on top of this mound of chicken feed were all of the chickens who were loose, and they're climbing all over this pile of chicken feed, which was supposed to last the duration of the month. And I got out of the van, I walked over there, and I see these chickens just, you know, crawling all over this mound of feed that's supposed to last for a month, and thinking about the fact that now the chickens are loose, we need to be leaving, and yet they need put away. And I called the child in question out of the van and brought him over and asked questions for which there can never be a forthcoming adequate answer, like, what were you thinking? You know, in what universe do you think that it is ever okay to dump all the chicken feed right in front of the garage door? Why did it not occur to you to feed the chickens in the same pattern in which you have fed them every other normal day of your life, in the chicken coop, in the feeder? You know, and I'm escalating as I'm doing this, right? And I can see I'm not getting anywhere. You know, I can see that this is not having the impact that I'm hoping for, which is, of course, openness and receptivity. And I finally, you know, just finished with, you know, why did you think this was acceptable? And the only answer that a parent can ever reasonably expect from that kind of a question is, I don't know. And I said, get in the van. So I climb in the van and I sit there and I put the van in gear and I start to drive. And then I remember that we have a tradition that we do before we go on a road trip that we always pray. And we ask God to bless our trip. And I also remembered why we were going on this trip. We were going to go around the country and encourage families to love each other and how to be good parents and all the things that I was not doing in that moment. And so I thought, you know, in this moment, I don't even know if God wants to listen to me. So I called my child. I said, get out of the van. So we got out and I said, look, I didn't handle this well. I'm not happy about this, but I want you to know I love you. I'm for you. We have a situation we have to deal with, but the way I went about that is not okay. Mm-mm. And the response that I got was, oh, that's okay, Dad. And I said, you know what? I'm grateful that you want to forgive me. And the scripture says that we should forgive one another. But I want you to know that I don't think it's okay. I'm not okay with it. And this is something I'm working on in my life. I don't want to respond this way. I'm asking God to help me. And I just want to let you know that I'm not okay with how I behaved. And so we were able to reconcile, and there was forgiveness, and then we had to round up the chickens. But in those moments, and we all have them, if you're a parent, these things come up all the time. You have a decision. We're not always going to handle it appropriately in the moment as much as we would like to, but we have to know, what do we do in those moments when we've blown it?
And you're right, we do all blow it. And so it's not a matter of, are we going to sin in this area, but what are we going to do? How are we going to handle it when we sin? Brooke, you came out of a background where as you entered into marriage, you didn't think of yourself as an angry person.
I sure didn't. I grew up with just one brother and my parents, and he was only 2 years younger than myself. So I never had that sense of, oh, I have this little brother. We are more like twins. And my family was very easygoing on many levels, not a lot of anger in my home. It's a very nice Christian home. I'm very grateful for my upbringing. And so when I came into marriage, I thought, well, I have studied character. You know, I'm not going to be an angry person. And I almost thought, I'm just not that type. And then I was tested, and I had these little children, and I'll never forget the day I had, my oldest was about 6, and we had 4 little ones. And I was sitting at the kitchen sink and I was trying to wash dishes. And my little son, at 6 years old, kept deciding that he himself was capable of making all his own decisions in life. And he had decided that he was going to go outside. And I told him, no, you're not going outside. I got to do these dishes. We're waiting for the little ones to get up from their naps. And he kept pushing me and pushing me on it. And finally, I took my soapy hands, put them on the sides of my hips, and I said, you know what? You are about to make me lose my temper. And it was at that moment when I realized I have an anger issue, and it's getting worse, and I need to do something about it.
I remember a woman's, a young mom saying to me years ago, I never was an angry person until I had children. And she had, in her case, I think it was a 1-year-old and then had a set of twins. And with those three little ones, she said, all of a sudden I became an angry person. And I said to her, probably not quite in these words, but the gist of it was, you know what? You were an angry person. You just didn't know that you were.
Yes.
And God wanted to reveal what was inside of you so he could deal with it, so he could sanctify you and make you more like Jesus. So he gave you those little children to squeeze you. And what was inside that you didn't even know was inside came out.
Right.
God knows what it takes in each of our lives to bring out, even we have listeners who are single or married women who don't have children. So it's not just children that bring this out, but God knows how to create circumstances in our lives that will cause us to realize how much we need his grace and how much we need him to change us. So as you entered into motherhood and you all had a lot of children in not too many years, you found yourself getting squeezed.
Yes,
and
I sure was.
Challenged and tested. And some of what came out, you were a little surprised to see.
I was. And, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, just like you said, there's these circumstances for parents. It's the lack of sleep. It's being tired. It's having these little children that create tornadoes of messes around your home. You know, your life is not your own anymore. And it's just one of those ways where we want to cling so, so tightly to our own life and say, this is mine. These are my rights. And when that's messed up, we find, oh, there's ugliness in ourselves that wants to come out. There's anger. There's frustration. There's just being a stressed out, uptight person. And I was really kind of surprised, and I shouldn't have been. I'm human, and it's only God's grace in my life that's going to bring about any kind of good.
Yeah, yeah.
Yesterday, Brooke, we did a radio interview, and you shared a quote from Amy Carmichael. And then Nancy posted it on Twitter this morning.
I saw it in your book, and I liked it so much.
Could you share that?
Amy Carmichael shared in her book, A Candle in the Dark, about a cup of tea. She said, if there's a sweet tea in a cup, just brimming full, and it's bumped, it's never going to spill out something bitter. It's always going to be sweet, no matter how badly it's jarred. And that just spoke volumes to me because I realized all that ugliness I had was inside of me. It was only God's grace that's going to help sweet things come out when I'm bumped, which happens to parents every day.
The book of James talks about conflict. And it says, where does conflict come from? And it says it comes from within you.
Mm-hmm.
So what Brooke is saying about you're making me angry is really not theologically correct. It's not that there's some external source that is imposing itself on us in a way that we can't control. It's just tapping into desires that we have. And that's the next part of that passage. It says you desire something, you want something, and you're not getting it. And so you get angry. And that anger can play out in a spectrum from mild to extreme. But that issue of our expectations and wanting everything to be perfect and wanting other people to be perfect and wanting to be comfortable and never wanting to be inconvenienced or embarrassed or the things that our children tend to do, right? When those things happen and our expectations aren't met, our desires aren't met, we get frustrated, we get angry, and we have to learn how to recalibrate our desires so that they're aligned with the things that Christ desires in us.
Wow, that's so good. And we tend to think that when – and anger has a range.
It does.
It can be mild irritation up to, you know,
rage.
Murder, you
yeah,
know,
absolutely.
Ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
But better to nip it in the bud at the earlier stages. And when that comes out, whether it's in marriage or parenting or the workplace or church environment, just relationships in general, we tend to think, I wouldn't be this way if so-and-so hadn't –
done this. And with children, there's a lot less of that that you can control in a way.
Right.
You know, my child does something that seems utterly irrational. Well, they're three, you know.
That's their job.
That's their job. So we think, I wouldn't be this way if that child hadn't done this. But really what God is wanting to do is to expose those faulty desires or idols in our own hearts, that things that I will kill to have.
Yes.
Or I will explode to control. And I think you just named several of those, but let's unpack those for a minute. This whole thing of perfection. Brooke, you know, you came out of a healthy home background. We're going to talk about Israel's home background, maybe in the next program, which was more dysfunctional. And you had, Israel, some obvious sources of perhaps where you could have been a really angry parent. But Brooke, you came out of a more healthy, whole environment, and yet you found yourself with wanting to do this really well, to be perfect. Did you find that sometimes then resulting in irritation or anger?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I think I had too, coupled with my ideas of wanting to be a perfect mom and thinking I could somehow pull myself up to do that by myself. Maybe naively, I wasn't necessarily going, I can within myself have this great character and be a great mom. But I hadn't really been tested to the point that I had to cry out to God and say, I obviously can't do this. And those moments where I think probably all moms have this of feeling like, I don't think I was actually cut out to be a mom after all. You know, here you're looking at your sweet little children, you're going, I don't think I have it within me. I'm not enough here. I am not enough to be a good mom.
And boy, would you stop? And I want to say, anybody who looks at your family, I think would be maybe surprised to hear you say that. And if, you know, I mean, we know all moms feel this way, and yet you have this, I've had your family in my home. They're well-behaved. They're sweet kids. I love your family. And I'm going, Brooke feels like she's an inadequate parent. But I think it's really helpful for moms to hear that, because every mom feels like a failure.
Yes.
As a mom. I can't speak for dads, but I know moms do, and I'm sure dads do as well. So this is a good thing.
It is. And you know what? I've been reviewing this in my mind lately and realizing that inadequacy, or, you know, that feeling like failure and I'm ashamed or I'm embarrassed or I'm not cut out for this again to be a mom, it stems a lot to pride. And I hadn't really seen that early on. And now I'm seeing it more clearly. And it's like, oh, that's painful, because it really is pride. Like, I can be this wonderful person. I can have all the attributes of God within myself. And I've had to humble myself over and over through these years and realize what's truly of God in myself, what He wants to put in me, His Holy Spirit, that's where I can feed my children from. Because I don't have enough love for my children. I love them very much. They're sweet little children, sweet big children, some of them.
They're also sinners.
And they're also sinners.
Like their mother.
Yes. And they have a lot of my characteristics, good and bad. But, you know, what I have to give them has to be from God. Because I don't have enough love to go around. I don't have enough patience to go around. And those things drive me back to my knees. And that's really the best place to start in being a mom.
So how do you do that? You've got 9 kids. How do you find you know it's important, but how do you, in the fullness of life, navigate it so that you can get the time to draw from those wells of your relationship with the Lord?
That's very difficult. I have tried everything. I have tried sitting with 3 little children on my lap, holding my Bible, and seeing my pages teared out with a kicking foot. And I've tried my app on my phone that reads the scriptures to me out loud, and I can't hear it over the crying. And I have tried everything. I've tried devotionals and books. And I have to say, there's times and seasons I felt like I'm not getting enough. I'm somehow not getting enough of the word to combat what I see happening in my heart. And yet I would encourage moms, keep at it, because even those little bits that you get in there are strengthening you in ways that you may not see in the season, but through the long haul, sticking at it, going back to the scriptures for your answers. You know, how do I teach my child not to lie? How do I teach them how to be kind and respectful to elderly folks? How do I go about these things? You'll find those in the scriptures, and delving back into them time after time reaps fruit eventually. You may not see it and you may not feel it in that season, but that's where it comes from. So just finding ways as you can, I think, is very important. for moms, sometimes I think they get into a, I remember my good old days when I had time 2 hours a day to go through the Bible study and to have that feast, and I want that. And so they'll only hold out for the feast instead of intaking some kind of daily scriptural food each day, no matter how small.
And I think the key thing there, too, is realizing that we need the Lord, that we cannot do this on our own. I'm experiencing this now as a young, relatively young, new bride. And in marriage, I've taught other women, I've counseled, I've encouraged them with practical biblical teaching on marriage and family. And yet now in the dailiness of my life as a wife, I'm realizing I cannot do this. I cannot be the wife that Robert needs, the wife I want to be, and the family member to his family or to mine, or the staff member here at Revive Our Hearts, or any of that apart from God's grace. So that crying out and saying, Lord, I'm not adequate for this.
Right.
I need you. That is a huge place to start. And I think God loves hearing us acknowledge, Lord, I need you. Help. Like, what better prayer could there be for a mom, for anyone, than help, Lord?
Well, he
really
wants to dwell with a lowly in heart. And
exactly.
If we're just so proud as moms or justify ourselves when we blow it and when we have anger, he's not going to be able to dwell with us. It's only when we're lowly of heart.
One of the stories that I love about needing some mom space is the story of Susanna Wesley, the mother of John and Charles Wesley. And she lived in a house full of children. And it
was
very,
like 19 or something. It was a bunch.
It was like a reality show before TV. This is a couple hundred years ago for people who aren't familiar with them. They were the founders of the Methodist movement.
Yes.
And this mother didn't have a room to be able to get away from the children. So what she would do is she would take her apron and throw it over her head and spend 5 minutes alone talking to Jesus. And the children knew that in those 5 minutes, you don't interrupt mother. And for
she
her,
needs this.
Yeah, she needs
and
this.
And you need this.
And you need this. And so this was a case where even in a very crowded house with little space and with no place to retreat, she found a way to take those 5 minutes alone with Jesus and to recalibrate. And I think that's so important that, you know, it's not like we all have the luxury of a weekend retreat away, you know, where you're going to be pampered and so forth. We don't all get that.
Certainly not often.
Yeah, but we need – those are great when they happen. But we need to take the time every day to spend time alone with Jesus.
Israel, are there – I know we have some dads who listen to Revive Our Hearts who kind of eavesdrop on this normally women's program. But are there ways you found as a dad to help your wife who's handling maybe more of this on a daily basis? Throughout the day basis, to encourage and help her with the stress levels so that some of these things don't explode?
Well, I can imagine that my situation may be common for a lot of other men. You were talking about perfectionism a little bit ago, and my wife and I are both perfectionists, but we handle our perfectionism in very different ways. She internalizes her perfectionism. She's very hard on herself. And if she sees behavioral issues in our children, for example, in her mind, that reflects on her as a mother. And it says in her mind that she's a bad mother.
And I think that's really common for moms to feel that.
Yeah. So that's how she tends to deal with her perfectionism, is internalizing it. There's a lot of negative self-talk that can be a default for her. I'm kind of the opposite. I'm perfectionistic, but I tend to be really hard on other people. So the way that my perfectionism plays out is that I can tend to notice all the faults, all the problems, all the failures, and highlight those and nitpick those. And so what happens is if I am in my default lane and she's in her default lane, it will demoralize her to the point where she is incapable of being able to function as a human being. So I have to be proactive in being cognizant, being aware of the fact that I'm doing it. And Brooke is a great blessing in that she will lovingly and appropriately point it out to me when I'm doing it. She'll say, do you realize that your comments are consistently negative? I don't realize it. I don't think I'm doing that. I don't feel like I'm being negative. But being intentional about trying to find words of positive affirmation and not to just grind down on the wife and children. And one thing that I've learned is that when my children are behaving badly, they are really like a thermometer. And when I don't like the temperature emotionally and spiritually in my children and in our home, the thing that I come back to is reminding myself that in many ways, I'm a thermostat.
You're setting the temperature.
I'm setting the temperature, absolutely. So if I don't like the temperature, I actually can do something about it by changing me, by going to Christ and saying, okay, these attitudes that I'm seeing in my children are really reflections of my own attitudes.
Wow.
And so I believe for fathers that we really are, in many ways, the thermometer that sets the spiritual and emotional temperature for our families.
Well, good and wise words and biblical words for dads and moms and human beings here. And we're talking about Israel and Brooke Wayne's book, Pitchin' a Fit, Overcoming Angry and Stressed Out Parenting. It's available here at Revive Our Hearts this week for a donation of any amount. It's our way of saying thank you for supporting this ministry. We'd be glad to send it to you. You may want to read it as a parent with young children or a grandparent who's wanting to encourage your children and their families, or just as you're ministering to other women in the context of your church. It's a lot of really great wisdom and application here. I told Brooke and Israel when we first saw each other this morning that as a woman without my own children, I found a lot of really helpful insight here about dealing with some of my own internal frustration and anger and stress. And so I'm recommending this book, and we're going to continue talking about it the next time on Revive Our Hearts. So be sure to join us then.
Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth has been talking with Israel and Brooke Wayne about their book, Pitchin' a Fit, Overcoming Angry and Stressed Out Parenting. This book will help you respond to stressful situations as a parent with grace instead of anger. To get a copy, call 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or you can get a copy by visiting reviveourhearts.com. We'll send one book per household when you make a donation of any size. When Israel Wayne was 13 years old, he was home with his five younger sisters when his stepfather came to the door in a rage.
I was sitting in the living room with a loaded 12-gauge shotgun that happened to be his, and I remember thinking, if that door latch breaks, I'll shoot him. Because I knew that it was going to be either him or us.
That's tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth is helping parents show the beauty of the gospel to their kids. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.